afternoon, listeners. We're hoping that you are not in the middle of traffic, but if you will, we are glad that we get to spend the next half hour to an hour of your drive with you. Zach Gander here with Steve Gander on Biz Culture Matters. How's it going, Steve?
It's going great.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Rainy day in Seattle today?
It's awful in Seattle, but we're going to be talking to a great friend and tremendous leader from Dallas, and I'm sure the sun is shining brightly over the state of Texas.
Of course
today.
It is. There's always something big going on down there.
Dallas is about big.
I was talking to a friend the other day who lives in Florida, and she was telling me she wants to live in Dallas because she thinks that the humid would be better.
No.
I told her not to.
It is better than Florida.
It probably is. She lives in Tampa, and I told her that Dallas summers might be worse for her. Who knows?
Well, our guest will be able to testify to that because he's a global citizen.
Yeah, he is a global citizen. We're excited about our guest today. Steve, we just listened to Joe Shine last week. We got to interview Joe Shine of Sheehy Auto Stores. And what are a couple of things that you thought that he highlighted really well that maybe our listeners could go back to and listen to the podcast?
Well, I thought what Joe said so very well, because, I mean, his history is basically working with Fortune 500 companies as well as large privately held firms. But the whole concept of value versus cost and the mindset that goes behind, you know, how business leaders think about and invest and make decisions. You know, Joe being a CFO, you think most CFOs are typically short-term, don't spend anything right now. But, I mean, he's developed this perspective in all the years he's worked for huge companies that, you know, long-term value is more important than short-term costs. And if you're thinking about something as a cost instead of an investment that generates value, you shouldn't even waste your time thinking about it.
Yeah, exactly, which is huge for a CFO to say something like that.
Yeah, huge. And, you know, and just shows that Joe's a really enlightened leader, as is the guest that we have on the show today.
Yeah, you want to go ahead and introduce our guest today?
Well, yeah, I've known Stuart Pryor for a few years, and Stuart, we'll get him to tell you a little bit about his firm and his team and his company and the work that they do. But Stuart is a global citizen. He travels all over the world. His firm does business all over the world. He's headquartered in Dallas, Texas, but he'll tell you that his parent company comes from Germany, and he spends most of his time in Latin America and Brazil. And I find that it's really enlightening, you know, to talk to a leader that thinks and lives leadership and culture like Stuart does from a global perspective, because everybody thinks that culture is about what nation you're in or what country you're in, and it is to an extent.
Sure.
But there are some things in common that people everywhere do the same.
Yep.
And, you know, Stuart's become a real science and an artist in navigating those kind of waters to a very, very effective and productive career and lots of results, positive results in his firm.
Absolutely. We have on the line with us, we're going to welcome right now Stuart Pryor from ThyssenKrupp. And if you've been in an elevator, I guarantee you've seen their logo. I'm pretty sure that every elevator I've been in, I think, was a ThyssenKrupp elevator, because I can't remember any.
Well, there's a couple of other guys, but they're not as good.
Yeah, they're not as good.
As TKE. And then really ThyssenKrupp, you'll see, is a, if you look online, you know, been in the steel business out of Germany and Europe and the world for years. But Stuart is a leader in their elevator division, which, you're right, I mean, great elevators.
Yep, absolutely. I've never gotten stuck in one. Welcome to the show, Stuart.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
And we're not going to ask you to tell us about any stories where guys got stuck in elevators. You know, we do, if you have time, we do want to hear that story about the noise you fixed in the elevator in Las Vegas. I thought that was very, very interesting and exciting.
Oh, I don't know. Some of my audience may be listening.
Tell us, Stuart, about TKE, about the work that you guys do, about, you know, your business, your company, what's going on in the global economy that you see, because you're on the front line dealing with it all the time in the United States and, of course, abroad.
Well, ThyssenKrupp Elevator is a part of ThyssenKrupp AG, that is based in Essen, Germany. And Thyssen and Krupp were two large steel companies in Germany that merged back in 1998. And that was primarily their core business till recently. They do business all over the world. They're in marine systems. They're in plant technologies. They're in automotive. But one of their core businesses is elevator. And ThyssenKrupp Elevator is the third largest elevator company worldwide. We do business in almost every country and continent in the world. We're a very young company compared to our competitors. Some of our competitors are over 100 years old. We're really only about 25, 30 years old. And our growth has been very rapid, primarily due to acquisitions. We've acquired many companies in every continent and quickly gotten to the number three position with our sites shortly on number two. You know, our focus primarily is in the BRIC countries, which is Brazil, Russia, India, and China, with the United States and Europe being very, very mature markets. Just to kind of give you an example of that, approximately every year there are 500,000 new elevators installed. And of that 500,000, there's only 15,000, 16,000 in the United States. And the other 485,000 are done around the world.
Wow.
Markets such as Brazil and Latin America are both bigger than the United States. Of course, China is the largest elevator market in the world. They have, excuse me, close to 300,000 elevators installed annually.
Wow.
It's an amazing market. So it's truly a global business. It's really two businesses. We have manufacturing and installation, and then we have our service business for the millions of elevators that, you know, have been installed over the past 100, 125 years.
Well, I remember the last time we had the Excellent Cultures actually had the opportunity to be part of one of your, you know, executive strategy planning sessions with your team. You know, I was depressed coming into the meeting because I was listening to CNN and Fox News and CBS and ABC tell me about how bad business and the economic climate was in the United States. I went into your meeting, and by the time you were to your third PowerPoint slide, I felt life again. I mean, it's like a whole different world when you look at what's going on economically in other parts of the world, markets that you guys are working in and developing, compared to what we've experienced domestically, at least in, what, the last 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, the construction business is definitely cyclical. And in the United States, through the late 1990s, through the early 2000s, we had a longer run than was expected. And now you're seeing a longer downturn in the construction. And it's slowly coming back. I don't know if we will see levels like it was in the late 80s and mid-90s, but it is slowly coming back. But you look at countries like Brazil that are hosting not only the World Cup but the Olympics, and on top of that, building all their infrastructure, and you have the migration of populations from the urban to, from the suburban to the urban areas. And you see it in Colombia, you see it in Peru, you see it in India, and it's just a true revolution in a lot of these countries that are evolving.
Yeah, amazing, because as Americans, it's so easy for us to get so tunnel-focused that, you know, we think that we're the center of the universe, and when you look at what's going on in the globe, we really aren't anymore.
Maybe we never were.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
maybe we never were.
Well, certainly our economy is still the driver of the world, yeah. But if you look at where things are going of production and of, let's say, even stuff like code standardization and technology advancements, especially in the industry I'm in, you're really seeing that that's global. And you're also seeing this true blending of country lines. I have a son who's graduating from college in June. And I have encouraged him to learn not only a second but a third language, because the time he's even midway through his career, the chances of doing business just in one country, I think, are going to be very slim.
Yeah, very true. I mean, and listeners, you're hearing this from a guy who, did you ever keep track of how many miles that you fly on international flights a year, Stuart?
I'm about to hit 4 million miles with American.
Wow.
Woo!
And
thank God they're upgrading their planes right now.
they, They need to quickly.
They do need to, because I'm a gold member with American, and I'm looking forward to those upgraded blades.
So you're way above super platinum. What do they call that, Stuart?
It's now this new thing called the concierge key.
Nice.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And yeah, that does have a few privileges, but it's not worth it.
But you don't get to fly free for life with your whole family.
No, this year I have been in Thailand, Brazil, Germany, Argentina, not to mention the domestic flights. And so I've spent a lot of time on the plane already in the first 2 months of the year. And so you end up spending a lot of time on airplanes.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to go into a break right now. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters. We have Stuart Pryor from ThyssenKrupp on the line. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTCultures or Facebook/excellentcultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
Back, listeners, and you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180, your conversation station. We are talking to Stuart Pryor of ThyssenKrupp right now. He just got done laying down how many 4 million miles he's been traveling globally for business. Stuart, you are a Tennessee grad, right? You're a volunteer?
Yes, sir, I am.
So you felt okay with your son being an Aggie, huh?
Yeah, they might have a much better football team. Yes. No, actually, my son's grandfather, or my grandfather, was an Aggie, so we have a tradition down there, and now they're in the SEC. We were hoping they would play each other before he graduated, but that's not going to happen. But yes, I'm a volunteer and very proud of it.
That's very good. Well, up here where we're purple and gold, we feel really, really bad for your highlighted Hunter orange.
Well, when you wear anything orange in the state of Texas, they automatically think you're all about, you know, UT.
Yeah, that's not a real orange.
That's a burnt orange. It's not. That's a burnt orange. Hunters don't wear burnt orange when they're out there.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Orange.
Yeah. So, Stuart, one of the reasons that I really wanted you to be on the show is because in the years that we've worked together and we've had the opportunity to serve ThyssenKrupp Elevator and your, you know, team in Latin America and Brazil, you know, I've really noticed that you've been able to do a very, very effective job of defining, you know, a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement, not just for, you know, U.S. American citizens, but for Latin Americans and Brazilians in a way that has produced some great results. So we thought if you could take a few minutes and just share with us on, you know, what your vision is for an ideal culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement. You know, big words on the internet these days, everybody's looking to, you know, Gallup has told us that 71% of our employees, at least in this country, are not engaged in their work. And, you know, you've done a tremendous job of causing the opposite of that. What's your vision for ethics, values, and employee engagement, and how do you navigate it across multinational cultures? And you're dealing doing business with people in Germany and Latin America and Brazil and the U.S. Tell us how you do this.
Well, you know, Latin America is a unique market because we do business in 16 different countries, and everyone has their own particular little culture, and so you have to find the nuances. You know, Argentinians are much different than Chileans, and Mexican citizens are much different than Central Americans, and a lot of times they don't get along. So you have to find some high-level themes to kind of implement, and because they're very national pride and, think that their way is the best. And when I first got involved on this assignment 7 years ago, I'm the chief operating officer for this for Brazil and Latin America, and some of the things that we had to address was really first safety, and that's where you all got involved. Is we found that the regard for safety of the employees was really not there. With safety equipment and training and safety procedures, and Steve, as you know, we had multiple deaths, and to install a culture of safety was the first thing. The second thing is a lot of the countries that we do business in, if you read periodicals or look at these indexes, a lot of the countries down there are considered high risk, either political or economic or, not being stable. And in our company, compliance is a huge issue. And so installing a sense of that we're going to work ethically and that we're going to work, completely by the rules. And not saying they weren't doing that before, but just ensuring that every employee knows that we have to be compliant as we do business was the second thing. And then what we found out as emergent market is the people really want to do well. And you just have to give them some direction to do that, and the way we approached it is we didn't give them 10 things to do to improve. We would do one or two things and get very, very good at that, and then we would try two more and move on, and then as we got proficient, we would build on that. And when we took over Latin America and Brazil, every country was losing money, and now that organization has one of the highest EBITs in our company.
Wow.
And something we're very, very proud of. And it's because I think the people have a lot of pride and they want to do well. And some of the perceptions that are out there in these indices and stuff really aren't true. That they have, at least in that part of the world, a great work ethic. They have a lot of pride in what they do and really want to exceed. The thing you always have to keep in mind, though, is all the different many cultures that exist down there. And I'll give you a good example. One thing, as Americans, if we're told to go fix something or go do something, we generally do it. Go do it. And they're so hierarchical, let's say in Colombia. Let's say I went to a boss's subordinate, was talking to him and said, hey, I need you to do this. They wouldn't do it without talking to their boss. They're so hierarchical that they have to follow everything. So you really have to learn to navigate the local culture and how to get messages down and through. And it's just different. It is just different. The other thing I found out is, this is so cliche, but Americans live to work. And down there, they work to live. And they really, even though they're productive, they really enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
Dinners take longer, and they allow time for their family. And it's just I've told my family about it, that it's really a great way to live life.
So a lot of balanced living and family culture lessons to be learned from our neighbors in Latin America and Central America and South America, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I would say that they're not. They're, you know, in a lot of cases, they're as or more as productive.
Can we talk about that for a minute in your life, Stuart? Because you've been married for 25 years with two sons.
25 years in five, yeah, next week.
Yeah, next in March.
Aren't you glad we reminded you? I know your wife is glad we reminded you.
Next week,
yeah. I mean, plus, and you know, 4 million traveling miles. Like, how are you making family a priority with your schedule? And how do you do that?
Well, I mean, first, I've been very fortunate to have a wonderful wife that's understanding. And, you know, our kids are at the age now where, you know, one's graduated from college and one's going to college next year, and we'll be empty nesters. And my wife will be able to travel some with me. But basically, when I'm home, I keep different hours. You know, if I'm home for like this week, I've been home all week for the first time in weeks, and I'll leave the office a little earlier, go in a little late, you know, walk the dog or make sure I'm home and everything. And it's just when you are home, you have to make sure that you have 100% focus on the family. Now, I will say this as a new executive that travels all the time, it's easy to get one part of your life out of balance, be it work or church or family or whatever. Sometimes you have to focus 100%. There's only 100% of you, so sometimes you're focusing 80% on work or 80% on family or, you know, whatever. So I think the best thing that I could say is you have to realize when you're out of whack and bring it back in. And sometimes it's, you know, more heavily weighted to one area or the other. But, you know, communication. I'll tell you, with my wife, anytime I go anywhere, you know, the minute I land, I text her or call her, and, you know, we talk two or three times a day, and you just got to make sure that you're communicating with everything. Yeah. Not going to say it's not frustrating sometimes.
Right.
You know, when I was in Thailand 3 weeks ago, we could never figure out what time it was at either place.
Yeah.
So, Stuart, before we go to a break here in a few minutes, what tips can you give to our listeners who are, you know, busy Americans? How do you know when you're out of whack? And, you know,
your wife tells you.
Well, how do you know when you're out of whack?
That's right there.
That's it, right?
How do you know when you're out of whack before your wife tells you?
Yeah, that's good. There
you are. And how do you manage it?
Well, I mean, there's sometimes you can't help being out of whack. I mean, there's sometimes where the job or the family requires your full attention, and you have to figure a way to, you know, to allocate that. The other is your health. You've got to always make time for yourself to be healthy. I'll tell you something my wife and I started that has helped us more than anything. A couple months ago, we started doing yoga at night, and that's helped everything with me the last couple months. I thought it was a joke when we first went. And it's amazing. One, I'm doing it with Kathy, and two, how it helps you.
Mm-hmm.
So you find things, but there is no answer, because sometimes it's just going to be out of whack.
Yeah. That's important transparency to know, too. It's like everybody wants the cookie. I mean, when somebody writes a book, they're usually telling you exactly how it's done. And when you finally get somebody to go, you know what? Life is managing the wackiness.
It is.
It's going to be messy either way.
It is. I'll give you, today's a great example. We had a death last week in Brazil, first death we've had in 7 years. We had an unfortunate accident. One of our service mechanics was killed on top of an elevator. And it's a tragedy. We hate when we kill anybody. And, you know, we spend millions of dollars on equipment and training and everything. But it just sickens an organization, because we want to protect our people so much. But anyway, you know, I started this morning, Germany 7 hours ahead, and we had our first conference call at 4:45 this morning, you know, because that's the time they were calling. And I started then, and I've been on conference calls, you know, all day today, and I have two more after this. And I told my wife I won't be home until, you know, 8 o'clock at night tonight. So this is one of those days where I'm focusing on work.
Yeah.
Friday, my son's got a golf tournament, so I'm taking off work, and I'm going to go see him.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what you have to balance.
So what I hear you saying, Stuart, is wherever you are, make sure you're fully there mentally as well as physically.
Yeah, you can't control it. You can't control what you have to do. You just have to realize that you can't do one thing for too long.
Yeah.
Then you have to back off and go do something else. Hey, I'm not perfect at it, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I couldn't write a book and tell people how to do it. I'm still learning how to do it.
Well, you know, who we need to ask about the book is your wife. I think we're going to a break.
We are. We're going to a break. We'll hear from Stuart's wife when we get back. Just kidding. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. We'll be right back.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
And you're back with Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM, your conversation station. We have the COO, Stuart Pryor of ThyssenKrupp. Man, what a great conversation regarding family, scheduling, managing, culture, everything else. Steve, you had something you were leaning into.
Well, what I was leaning into before I walked into the studio today, Bob McCluskey, Radio Bob, we call him the station manager here at KLAY, handed me a print off that he'd been studying on the internet, and I have no idea if there's any credibility behind these quotes, but Bob's a pretty credible guy, so we're going to really check this out and research it. But speaking of listening to Stuart talk about balanced living when you're working hard and traveling 4 million miles a year, this is Dr. Chung. Don't even know his first name yet, but listen in the next few weeks we'll hear more from Dr. Chung. And the first question about balanced living and health asked to Dr. Chung is, I've heard that cardiovascular exercise can prolong life. Is this true? And I'm going to read this verbatim, so recognize that I think this is Chinese translated into English. Your heart only good for so many beats, and that it. Don't waste time on exercise. Everything wear out eventually. Speeding up heart not only make you live longer, it like saying you extend life of car by driving faster. Want to live longer? Take nap.
That's good. I like that a lot, actually.
So, we heard...
Slow down, yeah.
And they take a lot of naps in Latin America and South America, it sounds like, Stuart.
Well, it's funny. They work different hours. The first day, this will be my 29th year in the elevator business, and the first day I came to work as a salesperson in Greensboro, North Carolina, the first several months, they had us installing elevators, and I remember the gruff old construction manager, first thing he told me, he said, in the elevator business, we get to work at 6:45, and my whole career, I have been at work at 6:45, no matter what, and then as I have taken over Latin America and Brazil, You know, they don't get into work till 9 or 9:30. They don't take lunch till 2 o'clock. They don't come back till 4. But they work till 8 or 9 at night. So it's a completely different mindset on how they work. And that's a hard paradigm for me to break. But I'm learning.
So, Stuart, at ThyssenKrupp Elevator, you know, and with even in your experience around the world, and you get involved with so many cultures and so many economies, where have you seen these value systems that, you know, build ethics and values and safety and all the important things that, you know, help a company live long and keep its people living long? Where have you seen it start to deteriorate in organizations? And what advice can you give to our listeners on how they can, you know, trouble signs to watch for and how to prevent it?
Yeah, I would say the biggest area that I've seen issues is in Europe. And I think that's because of all the failing economies in all the countries and how tough it is to do business and how compliance was really not addressed. And this is nothing specific to ThyssenKrupp, but just that compliance was not addressed in Europe, and now that's really being addressed with the European Commission. And I think you're seeing, I don't know, Steve, if deterioration is the right word, but I would say you're seeing a changing and a shift in Europe because of all the dynamics with Greece and Italy and France and Spain. Spain's economy is just horrible. And you're looking at economies that may take years and years to fix. So that's where I've seen the biggest change is really in Europe. What you've seen in countries like India and in China, and the same to the extent in Latin America, is, you know, a revolution. They've come from not valuing life. You know, you'll see 50-story buildings, or you used to see 50-story buildings in China where you would use bamboo scaffolding on the outside.
Uh-huh.
And so you've seen some positive changes in the emerging markets. The mature markets is where you've seen probably the more negative shifts to everything.
So it's almost like when it gets too good, we have a tendency to relax and slow down, and that's when bad stuff happens?
Well, the difference between an emerging market and like a United States is, you know, we're on the offensive and we're growing. And in a country like the United States, you're looking at, and I think this is true to a lot of companies in the United States, you're looking at it to be in a defensive mode.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at cutting costs and
mm-hmm.
how efficient you can be and how do you drive the last penny out of everything and how do you protect what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a completely different mindset from what you see in other countries around the world. I think it's a natural evolution.
Yeah. What's interesting is one of the things, you know, speaking of deterioration or the lack thereof and ethics and values, one of the things that really impressed me in our time that we have spent with your leaders from, you know, all over Latin America and South America, you know, as you speak to us about these, you know, different countries, you know, and the competitive mindsets and, you know, the things that go on and, you know, very strong beliefs and very familial cultures where, you know, everyone looks up for the authority that comes from, you know, the paternal nature of Latin cultures, you know, from the time that, you know, kids are born and grow up in a family. What I've noticed that you've been able to do very well with your guys is get them to focus on, you know, the priorities of what's really important for us all to do together. And, you know, what's the ideal culture that we all want to move toward together that's good for everybody? And as they've done that, you know, all these differences in national culture and competitive feelings and thoughts and things that would cause folks to be decentralized and not team-oriented seem to vaporize. And, you know, your guys have just done such an exceptional job of pulling together toward what's really important and setting aside what they used to think was important as not so important anymore. Any particular, you know, strategy or any particular advice you could give to our listeners on, you know, how you've gone about creating that kind of culture with your team?
Well, first of all, particular to what we did is these 16 countries that were planted by ThyssenKrupp in the mid-1990s were planted there as startup companies. And they had a mindset that they were startup companies and they didn't have to make money. And so one of the things that we tried to change is, okay, you're no longer a startup company, you're now a profit and cash producing company. And to be honest with you, we had almost an 80% turnover of our managers.
Wow.
Because some people could not change. And it had nothing to do with natural culture of, you know, where they were from or anything. It was just some people could not make that switch from, oh, I'm a startup and it doesn't matter, to now I have to learn to make money. And so really we had to get a different type person or managers in a lot of the positions. And it was over 80% of what we turned over. One of the things, though, that we really try to do, if you look at the states of the United States, it would be nothing for an employee to, say, move from Texas to, I don't know, Alabama or, you know, Alabama to Michigan or something like that. And it's the same way in Latin America. I have a lot of my Brazilian people throughout the different countries. I have a lot of my Argentinian people throughout the different countries. So moving people around like that, I also think, has really helped because it brings some different perspective to some of the countries. So we have a truly, like my leading team, I've got, of the five people, I've got one from Argentina, I've got one from Chile, I've got one from Uruguay, I've got one from Brazil, and I've got one from Colombia. So my leading team down there is all from different countries.
Wow.
And I think that's given a lot of good cross-pollinization.
Yeah, well, even those of us who aren't familiar with, you know, everything south of the U.S. border, you know, think of everything south of the U.S. border is Latin America. Well, it's not. I mean, Brazil, totally different culture, different language, similar but different customs. And, you know, you're working in both places, so you don't just have all of these, you know, Spanish-speaking Latin cultures that have a, you know, collective yet different mindset and a different national mindset. You know, you've got Brazil, which is kind of a, you know, a whole different, you know, animal in and of itself, for lack of a better way to describe it. Is that correct?
Well, one, the language is Portuguese.
Yeah.
And so it's completely different. And two, Brazil is a very self-contained country and economy. They really don't depend on much outside of the world. They have their own natural resources. They have their own food supplies. And that's why they weren't affected by this last global economic slowdown. And, of course, their economy is overheating a little bit now, but they're very self-contained. And just an interesting fact, if you were to lay Brazil over the United States, geographically it's almost as big. Just to give you an idea of the size of Brazil, you don't think about that when you look at South America as a continent, but Brazil is a huge country geographically. And their population is huge, too. There's, I think, something like 190 million people. The city of São Paulo has 40 million people. I think it's
wow.
The second largest city in the world.
Wow.
So, and if you look at São Paulo, it's the second largest Japanese city outside of Japan. It's the largest Lebanese city outside of Lebanon. If you look at all the cultures that are down there, It's truly a multicultural country. There's people from everywhere down there.
That is
wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
We're going into a break, guys. Keep that thought, Stuart.
Right.
You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTCultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
We're talking to Stuart Pryor, COO for the Latin American division of ThyssenKrupp Elevator, and learning some amazing insights about what's going on in the global economy, what's going on in Latin American and Brazilian cultures. Stuart, just before the break, you had a thought. We were talking about the uniqueness of Brazil and what a huge country they were population-wise, and you know, with all the different various ethnic populations, almost like a United States, you know, repeating itself historically, you know, south of the American border. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's definitely an emerging country like the United States was. United States was probably 100 years ago.
So the most recent Gallup poll, at least in North America and the United States, tells us that 71% of American workers are effectively disengaged in their jobs. People go into work every day, but that's not their favorite place to be. Have seen, you know, a number of polls when people, you know, were asked in the confidential poll to define, you know, their priorities in life. Job finished fifth on one and sixth on the other. Stuart, you've been telling us about how you know, we have something to learn from some of the cultures south of our U.S. border by way of balanced living and doing it in a way that's important, focused, family-oriented, and, you know, and very productive. What are your thoughts along the lines of, you know, how do we increase, you know, what advice can we give to companies and to organizations and to leaders on, you know, increasing this engagement challenge that we're dealing with in the United States based on what you've learned in working in countries who we don't know what the data is, but it would appear based upon what's happening economically has a much higher engagement rate than what we're experiencing in the United States?
I could probably talk for hours on this subject. First of all, I'm in the 30% because I've been very fortunate. I have a job that I've always just loved, and this last assignment has just been the greatest job I could ever have. And, you know, I have friends and family that say, man, you've been with one company for 28 years. That's unheard of. And as I've taken my sons to college and you go to orientation, they will tell you in the colleges that the 10 most prevalent jobs in the United States will not even exist 7 to 10 years from now. They'll change so quickly.
Exactly.
And then they'll tell you that the average college graduate today is going to switch jobs. I think it's something like 12 times. So I think the seed is planted in the colleges that there's no loyalty to companies and you're going to be switching. And, you know, you've got to go with what fits you, and so the kids are looking at it that way, and then the companies are also looking at it that way. And so you've had a change where my dad, who was with one company for 37 years, and me, which I'm probably an anomaly now, who's been with a company 28 years, Steve, I really think that's a dying breed. To answer how to stem that, I don't know. That's a great question, and I don't know if that's bad or good that companies and employees don't have a loyalty or is not engaged as they should be with each other. I will say this, you still see pockets, especially in our company, both in North America and South America, that there's a lot of pride in what we do.
Yeah.
But that's a question. I think it's, like I say, I think it – the way technology is changing, with the way colleges train their kids, to the way companies have to look at it, it's just changed our whole culture.
So as you look at, you know, the lessons you're learning from all of your time spent, you know, in Latin America and Brazil, and the difference in, you know, engagement and work ethics and people's lifestyles and living, are there any lessons that you think we can learn from, you know, let's say Brazilians who, you know, are, you know, from the BRIC nations that you mentioned earlier, of engagement concepts and ideas for leaders that we in the United States could go back to the drawing board and relearn?
Well, one, I think you need to invest in your employee in the form of training and in the form of communication and in the form of clear career paths. I think those three areas have to be done, and that's something that we've done a lot of, and I think that helps. And if you'll do that, especially the communication part with the employee in the form of, this is your career path, this is what you need to work on, using reviews as positives. Also, I think changing employees' roles, and I may be a good example of that. I mean, I've been in sales, I've been in branch management, I've been in operations, I've been in marketing, I've been in manufacturing, and now I'm in operations. And so I think what needs to be told of the employees is there are many opportunities within a company. And, you know, you can explore and do those and get the same benefit that you would from switching companies. And you come out to be a better business person on the back end. And so the communication and investment and with the employees, I think, is critical.
So then investing in training, communication, and career paths, especially communication, I heard you say, increases engagement on the Stuart Pryor Index. Is that a good way to say it?
Oh, definitely. Oh, you definitely. And you've got to identify your people that you want to motivate. Not motivate, that's the wrong word, but you identify your high producers or the people that you want to move up, and you start on them very, very early.
Well, I remember Stuart mentioned in the earlier on in the show, I made note that he says people want to do well, you just need to equip them to do that. And you're just rewording that in a different way that gives them an idea that you can do this and be equipped to do well here and do it here long term.
You know, the other thing is how you structure the compensation. Mm-hmm. And we've always found that having an adequate base salary with an incentive package that's based on performance is a wonderful motivator, because people want to do that.
So we're going to quote you, and you'll see it on tweets, Stuart, as people want to do well, we just need to find a way as leaders to equip them to do it. You know, how simple can that be for a recipe for high engagement?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. If you just let them know, hey, we want to do this with you. I'll give you a great example. Let's say you're moving a guy from sales to operations, and you just walk in and you say you're doing it. Well, he's probably going to take that, or she's going to take that as a negative. But if you explain to him, hey, if you learn this and learn this, then you can move into management, and the people all of a sudden blossom.
Yeah. And it's
not
just
hard
about,
to do.
It's just about giving them clear focus on, here's the outcomes that we're looking for, where conversely what we see, especially in sales-driven industries where people are told, here's what you need to do to advance, and by the time they figure out how to do it, everything changes, and there are different focus points.
Right.
Well, I like how Stuart is involving them in the process, too. It's a conversation, not a directive, right? It's at least that's what I gathered from what you just said, Stuart.
Yeah, it's a dialogue.
Yeah, it's a dialogue.
Dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I was in a class last week in a castle in Germany of senior managers, and we had a long discussion on the difference between a discussion and a dialogue.
Mm.
And discussions can be confrontational; dialogues are encouraging.
That's good.
That was your Harvard leadership class, right? So, guys, Stuart is going to tell us after the next break you know, how we can all become Harvard leadership educated without having to buy the plane ticket and pay the fee for the German castle.
Yeah, there you go. The German castle is cool, though. Although we don't have another section. We're at the end of the show.
So, yeah. Stuart, we got to have you back on the show.
We got to have you back now.
You know, we got to have you back on
it
the show.
It went so fast.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know how long we talked.
We've been talking for almost an hour. It's been great. It's been so quickly. Thank you, Stuart, for everything.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
appreciate
Stuart,
it.
Awesome, right. Awesome feedback. You know, we really appreciate you sharing with our audience. Great, great, effective tools.
Yeah, you're gonna see these coming up on social media blitzes and different things as we're promoting the show. And next time, maybe we'll have your wife on with you.
Sounds good. She'd love to do that.
That's
better than I do.
That's a good idea. Right. Good plan right there. Well, listeners, there you go. We're excited to have had Stuart with us from ThyssenKrupp Elevator, COO, World Traveler. It's been a wonderful show. You can catch all these listeners on excellentcultures.com. Obviously, you're listening on Clay 1180 AM. We want to have a discussion, conversation with you. What was the word that Stuart used, Steve?
Dialogue.
We want to have dialogue, discussions, but dialogues create positive feedback from back and forth. We want to have that with you. You can email us at asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com. And we've got our think tank of business men and women that have been in the industries that you're working in for years. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, next Wednesday, 3 p.m. on Clay 1180 AM.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.